Help us to understand more as we draw close to you, Jesus. Some words of scripture from John chapter 19, the crucifixion of Jesus. Then Pilate gave Jesus to them to be crucified. So they had him at last, and he was taken out of the city, carrying his cross to the place known as the skull, in Hebrew Golgotha. There they crucified him, and two others with him, one on either side, with Jesus between them. And Pilate posted a sign over him, reading, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." The place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the signboard was written in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek, so that many people could read it. Then the chief priests said to Pilate, "Change it from the King of the Jews to 'He said I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate replied, "What I have written, I have written. It stays exactly as it is." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they put his garments into four piles, one for each of them. But they said, "Let's not tear up his robe, for it is seamless. Let's throw dice to see who gets it." This fulfilled the scripture that says, "They divided my clothes among them and cast lots for my robe." So that's what they did. Standing near the cross was Jesus' mother, Mary, his aunt, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother standing there beside his close friend, he said to her, "He is your son." And to me, he said, "She is your mother." And from then on, I took her into my home. Jesus knew that everything was now finished. And to fulfill the scriptures said, "I'm thirsty." A jar of sour wine was sitting there. And so a sponge was soaked in it and put on a hyssop branch and held up to his lips. When Jesus had tasted it, he said, "It is finished," and bowed his head and dismissed his spirit. "It is finished," Jesus said, and he bowed his head and died. The word in Greek is tetelesti. Is that right? Marvellous. I was never good at Greek at college. Apparently, it's a normal, everyday word. It's not a word of highfalutin theology, but a word in everyday use. When a servant had completed a difficult job, he would say to the master, "Tetelesti, I've done the job to the best of my ability. It is finished." When the seller in the local market had made a sale and the money was handed over, he would say, "Tetelesti, the deal is finished. It's paid in full." When an artist had finished a painting or a sculpture and would stand back and look at it, he would say, "Tetelesti, it's finished. Nothing more can be added. This painting is complete." And when Jesus spoke those final words, he wasn't just saying, "I'm dead and done." He was saying, "The job is done." He had finished the task, and nothing could be added to what he had done. He'd paid the price in full. He had cancelled all the debt. It is finished. Everything is complete. What is finished? Bless you. Reconciliation between us and God was finished. The gap that had come between us because of sin was closed in what Jesus did on the cross. God makes a way for our sin to be dealt with and our relationship to be restored with God. That's why Jesus was sent, to get rid of the power of sin to condemn us, to bridge the gap between God and us. Salvation is finished, Jesus cried. That's what Good Friday is for. It's the story of forgiveness, won for all people. And nothing else needs to be done. Salvation is complete. It is finished. And that's why we call it Good Friday. Because it's a good day for us. Wasn't the best day for Jesus. We call it good because the cross is the proof of the powerful love that God has for each of us. That no one, not even God, would do something that was so painful unless it meant so much. Here we see a love that was prepared to die in order to rescue us. Paul writes, God has shown us how much he loves us, that whilst we were still sinners, Christ died for us. When we were still God's enemies, he makes us friends through the death of his Son. And that's how much God loves us. That's the story of Good Friday, that Jesus dies for us, even when we did not deserve it. Jesus says, it is finished. It's clear and simple. He's done the task. The reason he's come has been completed. And grace wins today. Today is a good day because each one of us is reminded how much God loves us. A love that has thrown our sin as far as east is from the west. A love that has nail-pierced hands and feet. I wonder if each one of us know that and accepts that love for ourselves. We've all got an opportunity now to think afresh about what God has done in what we're going to do next, a symbolic action. We're going to sing again, and we're going to have a time of reflection. Today is a day when God deals with our sin. And so we're going to think about when we've turned away from Christ, or we've not listened to his teaching as much as we could, or we've focused on the actions of others rather than what God has done. So today we offer you an opportunity to come forward. I'll be standing at the little table here. And have an ash cross drawn on your hand, a very simple thing. It's not our usual practice in the United Reformed Church to have Ash Wednesday, but I've burnt some of our palm crosses. You'd not believe how many palm crosses it takes to make a little bit of ash. It has been a revelation to me this afternoon in the garden. And so unlike Ash Wednesday, that's why I'm not Anglican, unlike Ash Wednesday when sometimes we have the sign of the cross on our heads as an outward sign to the world and to the people we come across, in our time of worship, we're going to have, if you're willing, have a cross on your hand as a sign to yourself for the rest of today of the sacrifice that Jesus has made for you, of the price that he's paid for your sin. And Simon and the band are going to sing, and I'm just going to use some simple words as I anoint you with the sign of an ash cross. Jesus died for you. Now go and live for him. Jesus died for you. Now go and live for him.